What is happening, amazing people? Thank you so much for joining the show. This is the Kyle Chitty Show with a special guest today, which I am super excited about. So let's not waste any more time and head over to the conversation. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Firstly, I love your page on IG. I think it's phenomenal. Because obviously what you're doing is like so, let's say it's so rare these days. So I think it's like really also phenomenal, you know, what you're doing. But firstly, number one question is a bit about yourself, you know, just maybe share with us who you are, what you do, what you're about, just like briefly short.
Yeah, sure. First of all, thank you so much for those kind words, Kyle. I'm actually really excited to be here, especially since this is something that I have a passion about. So for starters, my name is Aisha, and my whole niche on, well, I wouldn't say so much as a niche, but my whole category on Instagram is all about modest fashion and food. Those are two things that are massive industries, but modest fashion in particular is something that's always been just something that I can align my thoughts and processes with, the way I deal with things. Food is always a comfort for me as well. And so I just want to share these things with people because I know that they could, you know, maybe they could take something from it that they wouldn't usually see when it comes to modest fashion or when it comes to food. But yes, that's basically me. I like to show that around Cape Town. That's where I'm based at the moment. And yeah, it's been great. I started in 2017 and slowly but surely growing in a very saturated market.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, that's amazing. And I mean, like, food is a big deal, like, for everyone, I think.
Oh, so definitely. It's
nice to have, you know, people posting about food.
Of course.
So that's incredible. But I want to, obviously, like today, like I want to have a chat with you about modesty, as you mentioned,
because
that's like your niche, you know. So I want to talk about, because we have this culture today, and I'm sure you know it all too well. We have this culture today that's all about Cardi B. That's her name. So Cardi B, WAP, right? So when you look at like social media, you would have a lot of girls, you know, just like showing off, you know, showing too much, you know, if you know what I mean. So in the culture of the whole WAP thing, so you obviously know obviously what it means. I'm not going to repeat what it means, so I'm not going to do that, you know. So in the whole culture of WAP, you know, why is modesty so important?
Yeah, of course. No, I'm first of all, I mean, WAP obviously has a very obscene meaning, so we're not going to go into that, but in all honesty, I think modesty, when I look at the two different cultures, I think modesty provides a strong contrast to what WAP stands for. And I think even though there's nothing completely wrong, I'm not going against people who believe in the WAP culture, who feel like that's empowering for them. I just think that it is much more celebrated today than modesty is. And I think that modesty is something that is still a very relevant category of people who dress modestly or people who observe modesty are still very relevant today. And I think when people observe modesty, they observe it in their speech and their dressing, people can see them as like, oh, you know, you're so boring, you're very linear, you're just this, you're very bland, come on, be fun, like be a little bit crazy and wild. But I just think that in a society that just glorifies, you know, the WAP culture, I think it's very important to understand the difference of modesty and how it's also just as empowering. It's also just as liberating because, you know, modesty isn't just a way of dressing. It isn't just, you know, oh, I'm a modest dresser or I'm religious, so all of a sudden I'm modest. It's a way of life. It's a lifestyle. And I don't think that it's going to disappear anytime soon, even though there are songs or cultures of like men and women just glorifying this provocativeness of showing your body. I think modesty represents people that show, you know, this idea that you can also be covered. You can also be, you know, in a way sort of shielded from that, I think. And I think it also shows that even though WAP is a, well, let's say the WAP culture, I don't want to say WAP is a word, but I think the WAP culture represents and shows people that even though they may be immodest, it's celebrated. So I think that, you know, modesty is so important because it also needs to show that even though we have that WAP culture, it should also be celebrated. Modesty should also be celebrated. It needs to be understood and it needs to be respected despite the misconceptions people may have about it.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, I actually wanted to ask you this as well, because a lot of people perhaps maybe don't know what modesty means or, you know, what it stands for. So I want to ask you, you know, what is the purpose of like maybe dressing modesty? Like, what's the purpose of it all?
Yeah. So, you know, that's the thing. A lot of people tend to ask that question about modesty. Like, what is modesty? And is modesty just because you wear a headscarf and suddenly you're a modest dresser? Or, you know, the thing is with people, like, they sort of, when they look at you and they see you modest, you know, or you're a modest dresser, they think, oh, you're automatically very strict and religious. And, you know, it's not, that's not what modesty about. Modesty is about, you know, it's a mode of dress, and it is more than just dress. The main idea is that it's obviously trying to, you know, avoid that encouraging of sexual attraction in others. But I think that for many reasons, yes, it is, you know, towards your religion. But at the same time, I think it's a purpose for both men and women to adopt, where you are respectful, not only in the way you dress, but it's also supposed to encourage other aspects of your life. So you also have to be humble, and you have to adopt a lifestyle where, you know, sometimes less is more. Understanding the idea of gratitude, appreciating what we have, dealing things with modesty. When you talk to people, be modest. When you eat, be modest. When you dress, be modest. It's this whole idea of trying to look at it as a lifestyle and not just an outward appearance kind of thing, because that's what you want to do. You know, the key purpose of modesty is always to go back to the idea of intention, because like I said, we live in this world of, you know, you can be fully covered and you can appear to be extremely religious, but then at the same time, you can do such terrible, immoral things. So I think with the main purpose of modesty, you have to remind yourself that modesty is more about also what is on the inside and understanding why we do things and what is the purpose of why we do it. That's when we start to really understand the concept of modesty beyond just more than what we wear or what we look like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know for sure. I want to ask you as well, because you mentioned that you are heavily involved in it, and you also mentioned like the year you also move towards, you know, this type of movement or lifestyle. Also, like you mentioned, so were you always like a modest person, or like, let's say you weren't, like what like really moved you towards the modesty lifestyle or movement?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, the thing is, I'm going to be very honest. When I grew up, I wasn't always, you know, a modest dresser. I wouldn't say that I was the most modest observing person. But obviously, I have grown up. I'm a practicing Muslim. And growing up as a practicing Muslim, you follow the Islamic faith. You learn a lot of things about teachings and what our holy book, the Quran, says. You learn about faith. You learn about what it represents. And then I think when I got to the age of about 15, 16 is when I read that, you know what, there's more to this. There's more to like religion, because that's when you start questioning things. It's when you start understanding things for yourself instead of just being told, no, you have to do this or you have to do that. So I think for me, when I decided to just observe wearing the headscarf, most people are actually confused when you wear the hijab. I don't know if you've, like, people confuse wearing the hijab as just, you know, you're a modest dresser and you wear a headscarf, but it's very different things. So when you observe hijab, is for both men and women, that's the whole process of observing modesty and privacy. And so it's also, that's where this whole idea came about. I actually went to a class and I was with my cousins, and we were just learning about this. We would go, it's sort of like a Sunday school, but we would go to these teachings and we would just learn about how the woman in Islam used to dress, what was required of them, and what they would do with themselves despite having to dress a certain way. I mean, there were women who would engage in battles, because back in the day they would be in battles. They would carry out business. They would do all of that, and they never let what they wore stop them. Do you know what I mean? So it was something that I learned gradually, and something that I actually started saying to myself, hey, you know, this is a symbol in Islam, and I think it never stopped these women from actually, you know, making the most of what they can do with themselves. And so I found it as, if I wanted to learn more about my religion, I also needed to learn more about how I should appear, how I should be dressing. And when I started reading more about this in Islam, you know, it's also something which is said in Islam that is commanded by God, that if you, you know, you obviously have to approach with modesty, you have to observe it, and it can only bring you closer to Him and to His light. And so that's something which I'm trying very hard to adopt to in general, because there is that general connotation that if you look good as well, you lots of feel good. Yeah, so I thought, okay, if I actually, you know, observe modesty, I kind of pushed myself into it. I was like, you know what, just go all in, even though you're not 100% sure about it yet, you learn about it. But the first step is to always just try.
Yeah.
So I took the first step. I started wearing the headscarf. And then that's when I started learning more about how I have to dress modestly, how I have to act modestly, how I'm supposed to observe myself amongst others. And I think that's the thing. When you look at the outside, the whole purpose is that your outside is actually supposed to influence your inside more than you think.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I won't say that I'm 100% there, but I am getting there. And I think that's the most important thing, is that it's wavering, but it's still very strong towards modesty. And I feel like my faith has definitely played a big role in that. And just understanding what it really means to observe modesty in life.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Like, I want to ask you as well, because like you mentioned, it is firstly your religion, which obviously move you towards that. So let's say for someone that's not like a religious person, not a Christian, not a Muslim, you know, let's say it's more in the secular world, you know, like let's look at modesty maybe in that regard. Would you say modesty is neglected maybe in the secular world, or maybe there's just not a place for it maybe in secular world? Because obviously let's say like there's no religious I'd say motivation towards it. So how would you approach, you know, someone maybe in the secular world with maybe the whole modesty thing, you know?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, when someone, obviously, if they don't have that religious idea that, okay, I need to read my faith and that's what's going to encourage me, I think there's a number of ways that I feel like you can still read and research about it. I mean, at the end of the day, we also have our own ways of life and dressing, but I think we've also evolved into an era and a generation that is very inclusive. I mean, we're in 2020 and everybody's saying, no, we need to be inclusive. I mean, we're inclusive of the WAP culture. So sometimes when you're approaching somebody and you don't know anything about modesty, or they don't know what modest dressing is about, I think that it's very quick to judge people on a topic if you're ignorant about it. And I think the media also has a hand in that. So I feel like because we're in such an opinionated society, I think we owe it to ourselves, or even whether you are religious or not, to actually just learn more than to just say to yourself, okay, this is not something for me. Like, I don't understand it. I think modesty is something that for people out there who want to cover and feel like they can still be liberated, I think it's something which empowers not just somebody who is taking off their clothes. I think it's a platform not to go against the WAP culture, but rather it's a symbol that both men and women can still contribute to society in a manner that like interprets these ideals of modesty and their teachings, and they can live this way. And it's not just tied down to religion, if that makes sense. It's approachable from any forms of light. You can be somebody that is not aligning. You can aligning to any faith. You can be atheist. You can be agnostic. And you can just want to dress a bit more modestly because you feel like you want to live your life in that manner. I don't know if you've heard of that frugal mentality, that less is always more. And that it's something you should always try to adopt. So maybe sometimes people, even if you're not religious, adopting that frugal mentality and adopting that idea that, you know, being modest is obviously a lot more, it could feel more empowering. So I think reading and researching about it, having a conversation, that's my biggest thing. I think people need to start having conversations about it instead of just disagreeing and saying, no, you're very oppressed, you know?
Yeah.
So I would just tell people, learn more about it, research. We have Google at our hand tips. We have Instagram, like connect
exactly
with people. So that's one of the biggest things, I think, for people who obviously don't have that religious background or know what the religious implications are of learning about modesty.
Definitely. And I think while I was reading just about modesty, you know, like, because I saw like a lot of people say, you know, there are different forms of modesty when you dress. Mm. So maybe your definition of modesty is maybe different to mine. So I want to ask you, like, you know, what are some maybe examples, like, when it comes to dressing, you know, what are some examples of how to look more modest?
Well, so in terms of for men or women or for both?
I think let's maybe have the women up. Yeah.
Okay. So, see, that's the thing. I don't want people to think that it's only modesty is only by women. Like, that's my biggest thing. I feel like men can also dress modesty, but they don't, I think they don't it's not encouraged as much. But yeah, for women, I would say.
Exactly.
If you're religious or you're not religious, I would say that the first thing is, of course, you know, maybe wearing things with which are longer length. You can wear dresses which are like up to your, you know, ankles. That way your whole body is pretty much covered. It would also mean covering your arms. So it wouldn't necessarily be that your arms are bare and shown, but you can cover it with like a jersey or a cardigan. In terms of also, you know, showing your legs and everything, I think that also is also like you have to cover. It's also modesty is also about covering up until. Now, this is like, there's quite, I think this is also a bit of a debate, but in terms of how I would align myself and how I dress, I tend to want to cover my bottom area. So the whole idea is that it's not supposed to show the shape of your body. You're not supposed to wear tight-fitting clothes to show what your body figure looks like. So the whole idea is to, obviously, it must be loose. It must be loose-fitting. It must be able to actually cover, you know, until your ankles. It must be able to cover, you know, your bottom. Some people prefer to cover it just above the bottom. But so if you wear a t-shirt or, you know, even if you wear like a long top or whatever, when it comes to like wearing, I mean, just because you're a modest dresser doesn't necessarily mean that now you have to wear the headscarf. If you're, you know, I think religion and obviously being a Muslim, I wear the headscarf and I observe wearing the headscarf as part of my modesty. And that's the thing. I can't wear a headscarf and then wear, you know, a pair of like booty shorts, for example. That would be a complete contradiction because you can show the rest of your body. So I think with women, the whole idea is to obviously you can show your hands, you can show your feet. But, you know, the main thing is that your body, it should all be covering those private areas. It should be loose fitting. The longer length, the better. And I know most people are very scared of it, especially in summer weather. And they think, how do you wear that? How do you dress like that? But trust me, there's so many different ways. And there's so much clothing out there. A lot of fashion brands are even aligning with modest wear. They're incorporating it so much because of how it's actually a very easy way to just dress. I mean, you wear one item of clothing. It covers your whole body. You're good to go. You can go outside you're fine. So that's what it is for women as well. And I think with men, it's pretty much the same thing. You know, you also have to look at covering, obviously, the private part areas and then dressing in a way that obviously is not going to be, you know, I guess, provocative in that way. So anything that is loose fitting as much as possible. Hello? Hello?
I just got muted. My bad. So I was saying that, let's say someone is listening to this, because I'm sure there will be someone listening to this and saying that, oh, you know, maybe Aisha, you know, this is my body. Like, I decide, you know, what I do with my body. So I want to ask you, like, what would you say to someone that's maybe trying to counter? And also, like you said, you know, like, it's not a countering. I would say modesty is not obviously countering the web culture. But like saying, like someone is saying, you know, like, this is my body, it's my choice. So what would you say to someone maybe in that regard?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, you're right. It is your choice. You can do exactly what you want with it, how you want with it. But at the same time, just because you feel a certain way about modesty doesn't mean that you should completely shut your mind off that. I think in so many ways, modesty can be liberating, can be empowering. And I think that we have to, like I said, we have to give it a chance. We have to look at how, you know, modesty actually can empower so many women. See, that's the thing. Like, you know, if someone says to you, oh, that's my body, why are you doing that? Why should I dress this way or whatever?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah. People automatically think if you dress modestly, you are oppressed. And I think that is a very conservative viewpoint on things, because I think that that's not true, and that's not actually what we modest dressers try to observe. We're not oppressed. I mean, I'm not here in shackles. I'm pretty much very liberated to do and dress how I want, and it's why I've chosen modest fashion. I mean, I have siblings that literally don't wear. I mean, my older sister doesn't wear the hijab. You know, she's not the most modest fashion dresser, but I'm the complete opposite to her. And I think that I can respect her ideals. I can respect the way she observes dressing. And I think it's your own personal journey. And I think that's what's important when someone says to you that this is my body. Yes, it is your choice. But remember that there are people who want to dress differently to you, and it's their choice too. So you should also understand that, respect that, and also realize that the same way you feel that you have the autonomy to make decisions about your body, so do they. And that's something that I think mustn't, the message there mustn't get, you know, misconstrued or anything about what modesty really represents. It doesn't represent oppression.
Yeah. Yeah. So that actually leads me into this question of, like, why do you feel that when someone would perhaps see you, say, yeah, maybe in the mall or wherever, like, the immediate reaction would be, okay, maybe she's oppressed. So I want to ask you, like, why do you think maybe that is the narrative, or, like, why do you think that's the view of maybe modesty?
Okay, can I mean, I think for me, I think that's mostly related to my headscarf. And I think because when people look at me and they see I'm covered from head to toe, I can see that people would give me looks, and people would sort of, you know, not shy away, but they would obviously treat me a little bit differently before they actually spoke to me and saw, yeah, what my personality, yeah, is like. And I think it is because of my religion and because of the connotations about Islam and the idea behind, you know, women who wear the headscarf are oppressed. They're forced by their husbands. They have to wear this. It's not their choice. And I think that even though that, you know, it is important to understand that it's not the only way, I think, you know, it's like people should be addressing people who don't wear the scarf. I think I'm mostly treated differently. I think it's because of my religion. I think people don't understand that Islam is a very empowering religion towards women. They think that women are, you know, slaves. They're not allowed to make decisions. They have to be domesticated. But nowhere does it say that. And I think it's just, you need to research. You need to learn more. And don't fall into that pool of ignorance. Don't put yourself in those shoes and be like, look, she is covered from head to toe. Yeah. Look at her. She's, you know, she has to dress like that. I think people need to just have a conversation. I would be more than willing to have a conversation with a stranger if they came up to me and said to me, hey, why do you wear that on your head? Are you forced to wear that? And I would literally be like, nope, I'm not, yeah, actually. Yeah. This is my choice. In fact, my parents even asked me, they were like, are you sure you want to wear this? I mean, my mom only actually started wearing this, just to go off topic, sorry. My mom actually only started wearing and observing modesty in her dressing after she went for pilgrimage, you know? And I think for her, she felt the sort of divine calling where she was like, no, I want to be more in tune with my religion. I want to learn more about it. And I think I need to show that what's on the outside must also reflect on the inside. And that shows that I'm a true, you know, Muslim, or I believe in God and I believe in his word. So I think that's a very important thing as well, that it's everybody's journey. But at the same time, I think people need to just take that one step and have a conversation before they decide to say that you are oppressed because you wear a headscarf or because, yeah, you dress modestly.
No, definitely, for sure. And I think maybe from like a different perspective, maybe look at it maybe in a way of like, because like, you know, like I'm sure you are obviously on maybe Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. I don't know. Let's say that, you know, like you're a guy, like, mm-hmm, obviously not you, but like I'm a guy. And like you're seeing like these women like are obviously revealing, you know, like a lot of their body parts and like all of these things. What do you feel is maybe the impact maybe on the whole culture or the whole society as a whole when you are revealing too much? Because it's your body, it's your choice, and you're absolutely right about that. But like, how does it also affect, you know, the culture and the society of especially men, maybe in your opinion?
I think, look, to be honest, I think that men today, regardless of whether you are covered or not, not to sound offensive towards you, but I think in general, men are predators.
Yeah.
They are the type of people that whether you are wearing something covered or not, they are still going to have that desire. And I think that's the problem with thinking that women have to now change their viewpoint or change how they dress or change how they look to, you know, sort of stay away from what men could want, you know, try and protect yourself from men. And I think that that's something that I feel like that really stresses me out and gets me upset, that people don't realize that when a woman dresses the way she wants to, it shouldn't be for what men would want or how it should impact men. A woman dresses for herself, because at the end of the day, a woman dresses and wears something that will make her feel good, make her feel like she has dignity. And I think when you dress something and you dress a certain way and it's for the benefit of a man, I think that's when the message just sort of goes a little downhill, because men seem to feel like they have this power. But at the same time, I also think that men, yes, a lot of women today do tend to dress, you know, if they do dress provocatively to get the attention of men, that's for their reasons. But at the same time, I think that if you are somebody that dresses covered, and if you are somebody that doesn't dress covered, and you don't do it for the sake of trying to gain the attention of a man, I think that it does impact society whether you are covered or not covered. But I don't think that if you are true to what, how, and the way you dress, even if you are a modest dresser and you don't feel confident in the way you're dressing, I think don't let what a man, you know, feels or terms as attractive stop you from dressing the way you want to dress. Because at the end of the day, you are wearing something that makes you feel powerful, that makes you feel confident. And just because a man down the street doesn't notice you or doesn't look at you the way they would if someone is not wearing clothes, doesn't necessarily mean that, oh, I'm not attractive and I'm not, you know, I don't fit into society. I think that's the problem. But I feel like we are living in a society today that, like I said, is very inclusive. It's 2020. People are much more open to this idea that, oh, they want to dress that way, so let them dress that way. Everyone has their own form of beauty and their own form of attraction. And I think it's not up to the man's eye. I always believe beauty is an eye of the beholder. It's not even up to the man's eye.
Yeah, for sure. No, definitely. And I would think the reason I would ask the question is because, especially obviously here by our side, I'd say it's because there's been a rising number of rape cases and also gender-based violence, you know, so that's the reason I would obviously also wanted to know that question and the answer to it. So would you think, you know, that, let's say again, you know, you're revealing too much or whatever you're doing, you know, let's say that is the case, you know, and like you said, it's not for men. Men are, like, they will look, if you're modest or if you're immodest, like, they're going to look, you know, that's just the thing. I think maybe the question would be then, let's say you do reveal too much, or because sometimes it's just like it's how can I say, like, it's really like a lot, you know? Say in that case, you know, maybe it sparks something in men or whatever. But like, would you say that maybe dressing in a web culture way, does it maybe add maybe into gender-based violence or maybe the rape cases? And I know it sounds extremely bad. The question in itself even sounds bad, but I think it should be a question we should be asking, you know, like, because like you said, like, it, like you, if you are modest, if you're not modest, like there is obviously, like, how can I say, the effect is like, it's there more in culture and in society, whether we like it or not, you know, like on both sides. So would you say like it maybe affects the cases of gender-based violence or the number of rape cases we've seen lately?
Yeah, so I mean, look, obviously, you know, gender-based violence is happening. It's like, especially in South Africa, it's just caused a real rise of like anger and frustration and just hurt amongst a lot of women here. And I think when looking at whether the way someone dresses in a revealing way, does that contribute? I'm going to be very honest here, and I don't think in the slightest way the way you dress can affect whether women are getting raped. I mean, I have relatives that will literally say to me, where after you hear someone got raped or assaulted, and they will say to me, oh, but that's because she wore this, or she was in a club and she wore something very revealing. And I think that at the end of the day, we need to understand that women are not asking to be raped when they're dressing that way. I think the main reason for this violence and an assault against women is men. I think that if you are looking at the rape cases in South Africa and you're looking at the people who are getting raped, majority of them are young girls who have barely even reached puberty. There's babies that are getting raped. I mean, you can be a baby in a onesie and men are still raping you. It doesn't matter whether you are wearing, you know, what it just, it shouldn't. I mean, I can give you an example, actually, that's something that happened to me last, when was it, a few weeks ago. I was actually walking downstairs my apartment building, and I was actually wearing this, I don't know if you're familiar with when it's like a, it's called an abaya, but it's sort of this loose fitting black dress. A lot of Muslim women wear it, and it sort of covers their whole body. Now, I was going downstairs to go get takeout. So I'm like, I don't want to, like, I was wearing pajamas. So I was like, let me just quickly put on this abaya. It covers everything. And I'm still, nobody can still see my body. As I went downstairs, I was even wearing a mask. So no one could even really see my face and my headscarf. I'm wearing a mask. I go downstairs to go collect the takeout. And there's these construction workers that are working directly outside on a pipe outside the building. And they start looking at me and they start catcalling me and I ignore them. And they start shouting from the other end and they go, "Salam, look here, look here." And it was like they were acting like predators. I just looked down and my whole mood just shifted after that, because I felt I'm head to toe covered. I'm not even trying to grab your attention. I'm not even looking at you. You can't even see my face. And that actually shows me that it isn't what we wear that causes rape. I think it's just a man's mindset, because you can be wrapped in paper and a man will still have a desire. And I was modestly dressed that day. I went downstairs fully covered. Nobody could see a thing, including my face, because of the mask. And I think they still decided to make that choice to say, I'm going to catcall this woman. I'm going to make this woman feel uncomfortable and I'm going to show her. I mean, if I was walking past by myself, who knows what they could have done. So I just think that no matter where you are, what you look like, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, meat is meat for men. And I think that a man must eat. So if they want to rape you, they will choose to rape you, you know, whether I'm dressed covered. Yeah, yeah. I think there is that connotation that if you are wearing more revealing clothes, maybe it's easier for guys to get in or to get out. But I think the underlying intention behind all of that is that a man will still do what he wants to do. It's just less clothes for him to take off, and if you are a modest dresser. So I think at the end of the day, the rape cases and all of that is not it's not due to the way a woman dresses. It's due to how a man thinks and their intention. If they observe modesty, then maybe they wouldn't probably be in the situation where they desire women to be sexual enough to be in that position where they want to harm a woman. So yeah, it makes me very, like, heated when I think about it.
So I also want to ask you, because you mentioned men, and I think that men does play a huge role, you know, also in this, because of the way they view women, you know, like I'm a guy, like I would know, like the, let's say the group talk amongst guys, you know, it's obviously regarding women as not maybe in the best light sometimes, you know, so, and obviously the mindset now changes towards women. Okay, this is guy talk, you know, like we see women as this and that, you know. So let me ask you, because you mentioned it's not just women who should be modest, but also guys. But let me ask you, like, how does it look for guys to be modern? I mean modest, because it sounds like a whole weird, you know, notion of like a guy is like modest, like what? Like, I didn't even know it exists. So like how... like, what would you say, like, how does it look for men to be modest?
Well, I think for a man to actually be modest, it's, again, it's this idea of understanding that modesty goes beyond what you wear. It's about the way you address things and the way you approach people, the way you live your life. You know, when you decide to, if you're a man and you decide you're going to go out for dinner and you're going to, and you have, you go and you eat at a buffet, you decide to eat, you're like, okay, I'm given all the options, and for 20 rand, I'm going to buy all of this food and I'm going to eat all of this food. But you're choosing not to eat all of that. You're choosing to rather have a quarter of that, because you know that's what will fill you up, that you're satisfied with what you have. As a man, I think it's also about your intention of realizing that you need to respect other people, just like women have to, you know, respect others when they observe modesty as well, or they have to respect just generally. It doesn't mean you have to only respect men, but you respect other people. The same way for a man, they should respect other people walking by them. They should observe politeness. They should observe humility in their decisions. If you dress modestly as well, don't wear things that will now make someone feel uncomfortable if they are, you know, if I had to go outside and I'm fully covered and a man next to me is wearing like, let's just say like an underwear just beside me, and he knows I'm a modest dresser, you know, and he knows I'm a Muslim and I'm observing modesty and I'm trying to be, I'm in my faith and everything. I think for a man who has to observe modesty, the best thing to do would be to not make that person feel uncomfortable. Try to observe modesty in the sense that, okay, let me put on a shirt, let me wear trousers, let me not be in a position where I'm making somebody else feel uncomfortable around my presence. Let me try and think of what other people, be more considerate, let's put it that way as well. And I think with modesty, it's not just about what you dress, like I said, it's also about the way you live your life, but also just observing humility in everything you do, you know, like giving back, understanding what the idea of gratitude is, the understanding and appreciating it as well. Yeah. And I think that, you know, with guys observing modesty, it's not a rare thing. I think it's something that all guys should try to read more about, should try to research about. I think we shouldn't limit modesty to just what women wear and how they should act and how they should be towards their husbands. I think the idea behind modesty should always be that it's applicable to both genders. And I think that it's always open and it's always possible to be modest, whether you're a man or a woman. And I think it's just, we also have to look at our intention at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, definitely. Look, firstly, I want to say it was so awesome to have you here. I've learned so much, you know, I've learned literally so much. And I think it's going to help, you know, a lot of people, not just women, but also men, you know, because I think it's a bit of both sides, you know, it's not just the woman thing, it's a guy thing as well. So I've learned so much from you. Like, it's been incredible. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing vulnerably, you know, just about your lifestyle and like how it started. But let me ask you, let's say for someone who was like looking maybe for inspiration, you know, where could they find you?
They could find me on Instagram and on Facebook at Aishapedia. I also have a podcast as well, so they can find me on Spotify. It's called Aishapedia Uncut. So if you just search Aishapedia, you'll find me there. Everything is on my social media. And I just wanted to thank you for having me on your show as well. It's really great to have this conversation with you, and especially to speak to somebody that's actually so open to hear this. So I really appreciate that.
No, definitely. Anytime. One last question, Aisha.
Yes,
like,
sure.
Let's say we forget everything you said, we forgot it, right? It's not in our minds anymore. We forgot it.
Yeah.
So what would your last like message be? What would you want to leave us with if we forget everything that you just said?
Okay. If I have to leave you, okay. I would say to read and research about modesty. I mean, I understand that we all have our own ways of life. We have our own ways of dressing. And I think if somebody is listening to this and they're not sure or they feel very confused about what modesty is and what it means, I think that we must just remember that even though we all have different ways of living, understand that modesty is not just a platform to go against the WAP culture, to go against people dressing us if they want to dress, let's say, immodestly or however. I think they must understand that modesty is a symbol for both men and women to contribute to society in a manner that at least interprets their ideals and teachings in a way that is liberating, in is a way that maybe some people may not understand, but they may never see how actually if you dress this way, you know, it's actually very empowering and liberating the more you read about it. I think there's a lot of negative connotations about modesty, or if you're covered. I just want your listeners to remember to not be too quick to judge. And if they don't understand it, we have the ability to Google and talk to people from all around the world at the touch of a button. So if you don't understand something or you can't relate to it, then maybe look inward and discuss and talk to people and realize that modesty is actually a way of life that inspires so many people today, whether you are religious or not. And even if you don't agree with it, I think the least we can do is just to try, tolerate, and just teach ourselves so that we can actually keep moving forward and keep progressing in society.
Well, thank you so much for joining in today. I hope you have enjoyed it as much as I did. Please send us some feedback on whether you've enjoyed the show or if you absolutely hated it. We would love to hear from you. But until then, peace out, go out, and change the world.